Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 124 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. Beginning in entertainment, we're going to talk about the Wonder Woman 1984 release, some benefits to one of the major studios coming from all of these streaming services, digital game sales, and then we'll move over into tech, talk about some new deepfakes, quantum teleportation, and robots. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome to episode 124. Steve, it looks like, you know, we're finally post-Christmas. Good to put that behind us. This now
last show of 2020.
I was gonna say last week was our Christmas episode. This is our farewell to 2020 episode.
I can't get out of this year fucking fast enough, man.
I think that's the sentiment of most. And I think jumping into the news or our final thoughts of 2020 here.
It sucked.
We've got. If we're gonna go with a year in 2020 review, it just did suck. We could also talk about the last major movie release of Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah. Really, can you even consider this a major movie release? Theaters aren't even open in my house. I don't even know how many theaters it hit on Christmas Day.
So it still had the highest box office showing since the pandemic. Which was like $16.7 million on opening day.
Pandemic limits.
Yeah, this is.
Oh God,
this thing had the best opening day numbers in the pandemic as far as theater sales. And HBO announced that more than 50% of all of its subscribers watched Wonder Woman 1984 in the first, I think, 24 hours or 48 hours of it releasing.
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, HBO puts out a new movie every Saturday, you know, on their list of, you know, fresh to market, you know, movies that came out of the theater. So it was essentially like a new HBO movie. It was just one that nobody on the planet had seen yet. This thing.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I paid for HBO Max to watch this movie. So I went and I finally caved, got an HBO Max subscription that I fully intend on canceling once I binge through a couple other things that are on HBO Max. And man, this movie is as underwhelming as any movie I've seen in a long time.
I mean, we'll try to keep it spoiler free as I do on the written reviews that you can find on the nerdcantina.com. I was an hour and a half in to the movie and I found myself scrolling on my phone and I had to check myself like, what are you doing? And you're like, you're watching a movie to write a review on. Why are you scrolling Facebook right now? You know, it was one that's one of the downfalls of being able to watch these movies in your house is that even during the bad movies in the theater, because of theater etiquette, it does keep my focus on the movie so I can shit on it when I get home. With Wonder Woman, I found myself getting up, going to get another drink, checking my cabinets to see what I wanted to munch on. You know, it got to the point where really I couldn't care less about what was going on in that movie. It was so poorly done, so underwhelming, so just cringe and cheese. I just couldn't do it, man. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's an outright terrible movie. Whether comic book movie, normal movie, by any standards, it really does not do anything well. The action scenes are not good. They don't make sense. They're boring. One of the good things about me watching it from home, I guess, was the fact that I could shit on it in real time. Like, I don't know how many times we paused the movie, me and my wife, as we were watching it, and my wife would have to ask questions like, since when does Wonder Woman do that? And it's like, okay, let's hit pause. She doesn't. This is stupid. we just had to have conversations and shit on all of the plot holes and just bad acting that took place during the movie. You can't do that in the theater.
Well, and so I got really frustrated with the fact that, you know, you had a decent first movie. There were some positives you could have built on. You know, you could have fixed the bad things. Instead, they doubled down on all the fucking bad shit. They threw aside what made the first movie good. I mean, even the character growth with Wonder Woman, they kind of made her an asshole.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. They stole just about every bit of virtue from her for a large portion of the movie.
And just kind of made her an asshole. Like, I don't know if they were trying to show a human flawed side that just didn't come across at all. Like, it just made it seem like you've been alive for 100 years and you just are fed up and don't give a fuck. You're just the way you are. You like what you like. Fuck this time periods. Like, I've seen it all. I don't know, man. It was just so horribly done. All the good action scenes were in all the trailers. You got nothing really added to the movie that you didn't see, you know, based on trailers. I don't know if that's because we pushed it back for so long and they were just trying to hype the movie and give people more reasons to watch it. I mean, this isn't a spoiler or anything, but like, do you have a problem with any time a character like leaps, it looks like the most graceful thing you've ever seen in your entire life? Like, you know, at least the Marvel movies, you know, when they land, they land and roll sometimes. They, you know, it looks like, you know, but like anytime she jumped in the air, it looked like just this, and then she just lands all soft and walks.
I made that same comment about how I don't know what it is about, you know, Wonder Woman's powers, but for some reason she's able to completely like decelerate as she comes into a land. Like that's not a power of hers, but it has to be a thing because somehow she can jump clear across a, you know, a football field and then land softer than I come down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, I was I was shocked as just how bad this movie was. Like I go into DC movies with a decent amount of preparation for a giant fucking turd. Like I really do. This one caught me off guard, man. It really caught me off guard. After the first Wonder Woman, after a decent Shazam movie, I was like, all right, maybe they're writing this ship. You know, like maybe it's a slow, long turn and we're right in this ship. Nope. Like,
yeah, same. I same thoughts. You know, I did enjoy the first Wonder Woman movie. I was hoping for a better. I was concerned always about this one. I was concerned about Chris Pine even coming back and how are they going to make that anything tolerable. I hate like the timepiece movies, the whole 1984 scene going back before Justice League and all that stuff, because it always just doesn't work. You know, these things bother me when all of a sudden in 1984, she now has skills and things that she can do in this movie that it's like, well, I don't see why you didn't use that in Justice League. I don't know why 20 years later you're not using these marvelous techniques of yours that you clearly mastered back in the 80s. I was always worried about that aspect of doing this timepiece movie. And then they took the timepiece movie tropes and made it so much worse than you could imagine. I mean, I don't know how long we're going to shit on this movie with in just really vague spoiler-free generalities, but the basic theme is if you're an HBO Max subscriber, watch it because it's worth shitting on. Like, whatever. Unless you just plan on swearing off every other DC movie forever, you might as well watch it because there's going to be a fucking third one.
Yeah, there's a nice thread going on in the Cantina group, the nerdcantina.com / community. You can find it. It's just marked no spoiler or spoilers below. And then it's just crazy comments about the movie. So if you really just need to vocalize your disdain for this movie, just like we did, there's a nice comment thread for you to join in on.
Yeah. And like I said, so they announced it, I think it was yesterday, that Patty Jenkins, the director, is going to return for Wonder Woman 3. It was always planned as a 3-movie sequel. So this was no real surprise. There was always going to be a trilogy. And I think just the very fact that people are watching it and it created buzz around HBO Max and whatever else was enough to say that, like, where they're going to walk away from this and say that this was a hugely successful movie.
Well,
damn all critic scores, Rotten Tomato scores, everything else.
That's what I said is the downfall with streaming. I mean, when you get a bad review in the box office, it discourages people from spending money on it. So you have a negative effect. But when people shit on your movie on a streaming service, it's almost like
just being a viral YouTube video, right?
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't need to be good. And everybody
wants
to watch.
People need to watch it.
Yeah,
and this is fitting that bill. Like, even if you weren't that into Wonder Woman or you weren't into DC movies, after hearing how badly this one did, and you already have other stuff on HBO Max that you want to watch, or you're already a subscriber, it's kind of like, well, I might as well subscribe, and I might as well give it a view and see how bad this thing really was. So it's almost like, yeah, this concept of just going viral. Either way is good.
Yeah, either
like
way, they
any
get
publicity
the click.
Is good publicity.
Yeah, yeah, they get the click, so they essentially won. And this is, you know, this is one of my big fears, is that quality in movies is going to go down because of this fact. Like, we don't care. If it's good, everyone will click it, and if it's bad, majority of those people will still click it. Like, I hate that concept.
Yeah, I mean, I hate a lot about this movie. I feel that they did the only thing DC did right with this movie was by finally committing to release this thing in 2020, so we could just chalk it up to another shitty thing in 2020. I'm glad you didn't push it back to 2021 and ruin a piece of 2021 already. Like, this was the best decision you could have done.
Yeah, if this was the first movie of a year that's supposed to get us out of this hellhole, I would be highly disappointed.
Yeah, so that's the best. That's the silver lining here. Yeah, I guess we'll see how this trilogy plays out. What else are they going to do with the Wonder Woman character? In the end, again, if you're not a subscriber to HBO Max and you haven't watched yet, I wouldn't right now. Wait for Snyder Cut to come out, or wait for one of these other 2020 major releases comes out, and then pay for HBO Max for that, and then watch Wonder Woman 3 then. But this is probably not worth your $15. Like, if this is the reason why you're going to HBO Max like I did, oh man, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, no. Do not make this movie your point of purchase.
I'm just glad. I mean, with this, I started digging through HBO Max. I did start watching The Flight Attendant. On HBO Max.
That was
It's
weird.
A weird dark comedy, like, really but weird. I like it.
That was really. I just finished it last night, and that was really weird.
I've watched, I think, the first two or three episodes, and I don't know. I'm enjoying this incredibly weird dark comedy so far. I don't know how it's going to wrap up. Like, shows like this that are just super weird, they might not satisfy you at the end with all the weird directions and how it ends up. But right now, I'm digging it.
Yeah, the Undoing wasn't bad with Nicole Kidman. That's one you should check out.
Okay.
That
wasn't, I was gonna say,
bad.
What else on HBO Max? Let's talk about HBO Max.
Defending Jacob was better. But the Undoing was pretty good. I'm trying to think of what else is on there. I mean, you got The Wolves, you got Ridley Scott's
that too.
You know, deserves at least a watch. I mean, I'm pretty sure you watched Watchmen.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's about all the recently new stuff I can think of off the top of my head.
I can get through that in 30 days and cancel. That works for me. All right. I guess we can, you know, just keep moving on here with entertainment. One of the things coming out of this Warner deal and HBO Max is Sony gave some statements this week just talking about how they're seeing big benefits come out of this Warner Media decision to release all their movies in 2021, Disney Plus releasing some of their movies direct to the streaming service, which with probably more planned in 2021 that they haven't announced, and Sony being the only major studio that isn't directly tied to a streaming service is saying that they're seeing benefits just because now they're getting all the attention from directors, from actors, from individuals and projects that want to stay true to a theatrical release. So they're now looked at as this kind of Goldilocks situation here, where they're a big studio. They can't just dump you on their own streaming service. So it makes them more desirable for these directors, these actors who want these big movies.
Which is crazy that this is like kind of a thing. You know, this there's going to be a lot of aftermath from all these streaming services, and this is going to be one of them, is that you're going to have people like Nolan and a lot of big directors that respect the movie experience and are going to say, like, no, we're not going to bring this to Universal anymore. We're not going to bring this to WB anymore. We're going to Sony, or hopefully some other studios will emerge out of this, you know, that are more traditional, and they're going to bring their movies there. I do see maybe contract negotiations going further, you know, like if you want this movie, then you have to sign off that it's not going to go to streaming services until X amount of weeks after theatrical release.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that directors, you know, especially like those top directors, might be able to strong arm a production company. I don't know. In the end, the production company has all of the cards. I don't know how much they're going to need to cave into directors' demands or actors' demands in that regard. But, you know, Sony's got, they do have the leg up in this. They, even in this press release or this article, they talked about looking to negotiate down the theatrical release to 30 days, vice kind of the standard industry standard right now is 90 days. So looking to negotiate that down and looking to bring that down, but still having a true exclusive theatrical release will always be a part of their plan. They also have less big blockbuster movies than anybody else. So when it looks like, when you're looking at box office market share over the last 2 years, I mean, they're, Disney dominates with like 50% of all box office revenues owned by Disney and all of the Disney properties. And then Warner Brothers is a pretty distant second, and Sony being an even more distant third. So Sony doesn't have that much in their slate. So hopefully they're hoping to probably at least flip-flop, get closer to those Disney numbers and surpass Warner Media in the future when it comes to box office.
It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens to movies in 2021. It's going to be, you know, hopefully we start loosening up restrictions. We let theaters start to be able to thrive, and we'll see where everything kind of lands.
Yep. And then we can talk about where we have seen one industry land with these digital kind of revenue here, and that's in the gaming industry. And an article by Gamer Rant talks about the fact that 91% of all game industry revenue was digital this year, which I guess it's not surprising that the majority is through digital sales nowadays. 91% is, I mean, such a significant number when you're looking at total sales. That's pretty staggering. I'm trying to look up or pull up the numbers to compare it to previous years. But we're only, I think, 3 years away from when it was 50% of the revenue. So it's been a huge jump into kind of this everything digital concept. And I think these numbers are skewed a little, but still a pretty staggering number.
So I bought the digital only PS5 just because I was like, you know, I don't need to buy discs. Like I haven't bought a disc in a while. I know we've talked about the dangers of buying only digital on this show a few times. I still, my laziness trumps that. Like I just, when I'm on the couch and want to play a different game, I don't want to have to get up and swap it. I am so lazy that late at night when I'm in my gaming time, I would just rather go to bed than change that disc. Like I will fully admit that. I do have the disc drive on my Xbox Series X. That is really solely so I could play 4K discs, because I won't switch to all digital for my movies yet. I don't want any lag or buffering. You know, every once in a while, the servers or internet kind of spikes and you get some shitty video quality while you're watching a movie. I don't want any of that. So I still buy the 4K discs. So I have a disc drive on my Xbox, but it's not for video games at all, really.
Yeah, and so this 91% number I find to be a bit skewed in the sense that it's rolling up all digital game sales, which is including PC games, which for PC games for years has been pretty much exclusively on Steam and Epic Game Store. Like the PC market shifted to digital games a long time ago. When's the last time you've gone into a store and seen those big cardboard boxes of PC games lined up? It just doesn't, it really exists. So they're including PC games in this. They're also including mobile gaming in this 91% stat, which is obviously by its very nature Tablet and mobile games is 100% digital, but that's still like, I mean, that's still a multi-billion dollar industry when you look at PUBG and the Fortnite, Pokemon Go. Each of those earn more than $1 billion each. So that's a lot of money coming in the mobile side that's going to this 91%. But when it comes to physical consoles, like what you were just talking about, physical game sales for consoles was down to 28%. And in 2017, it was 50%. So it is quickly shifting even for the console users. I'm a proud member of that 28% that's still buying disc games. But that's only because it fits my cheap nature.
I was going to say, it's only because you can find a good Best Buy sale.
I can still find a good Best Buy sale because, yeah, digital games really don't go on sale, not like the physical games do, because there's competition there with Best Buy, with the stores can mark it down, whereas, you know, the studios or the Xbox or PlayStation Network or whatever else has no competition in the digital realm. And then I don't replay games. I will still sell my game for a couple bucks or whatever it happens to be. I'll still sell my games. I still live in that GameStop world that I will pawn off a used game to somebody else. And you can't do that in digital. So you're stuck with that thing. And like, this is a huge win this is the thing that like this article doesn't talk about, but this digital sales being, you know, almost even on the console level, such the predominant way that they're selling games is such a big win for them, because they were always looking for a way to kill the secondary market, because they didn't get a penny out of that secondary market.
Well, yeah, and they don't sell it. They don't have to sell it at a wholesale price. They could sell sell all the games digitally at retail. So, yeah. You know, the fact that they don't have to burn it on a disc, get some art packaging, you know, put it in a case, like they're saving on overhead, saving on shipping, all that shit, yet still charging the same amount of money that you pay for it in Best Buy, you know. So I don't understand that. I don't understand why a digital copy isn't $49.99 and the hard copy is $59.99.
Yeah. I mean, again, it goes into, and they're almost never on sale. Like, you know,
I don't know. I find a lot of games on Xbox sales. Like, they do some.
That's true. I'm skewing my opinion right now to what I've been playing most recently or playing with the kids most recently, which is the Switch, which doesn't discount games for shit.
Nintendo don't give no fucks. Nintendo gives no fucks.
So yeah, you're right. I am definitely skewing my thoughts on Nintendo Switch right now, because that's what the kids have been playing. That's what we bought the kids for Christmas, was more games and more stuff.
Because Nintendo knows they don't have to, because Nintendo players only come to play Nintendo games, and you can only play that on one place, and you're going to pay full price. Fuck you.
No, but I mean, I was able to buy the kids physical games during, you know, the various holiday sales, and save a decent amount of money buying physical games that they wanted. Whereas if I would have bought those digital, there was never a dollar discounted. Did not care.
But yeah, like Xbox had a digital sale, and I can't remember what game I bought. It was just one I know I wanted to play. Probably won't play it for a long time, but it was like 85% off. It was like a $90 game on sale for like 15 bucks. With all the X packs and DLCs and everything like that. And I was like, all right. It's like, you win. I'll buy it. It's fine. I'll play it eventually. So the only thing that I think sucks about the digital sales is that you never know when they're coming. I have paid full price for a few games that a week or two later are discounted on the marketplace. And that is just one of the most frustrating fucking things ever. You know, so you just keep holding out for these games, or you buy a game and then like 3 weeks later it's on Game Pass and you're just like, motherfucker.
Well, I think, you know, this is only going to go up from here. 91% of total revenue being digital, 78% of console games being digital. Now we have only digital versions of consoles. Like, this is when this is last year when still the consoles had disc drives. Now, I don't know what the percentage is that went, you know, with the disc drives versus the digital only ones for these new consoles. But I imagine, you know, it's probably 50%. It's probably close to 50-50, if not more, just because it was a cheaper price point. So it's going to get bigger. and the studios win. The gaming companies win, definitely with this digital realm here. All right, and let's transition into a transitioning topic here with tech and a little entertainment on deepfakes. And when I first watched the finale of Mando, we talked about our thoughts of that last week. And when I first watched the finale of Mando, one of the first things I thought was the big reveal at the end. I was underwhelmed with the level of CGI there, and I could immediately tell that it was not a deepfake, and it was not using like modern technology, and it looked almost like a video game character. You know, that de-aging process where it looked really kind of rigid, kind of flat looking, almost like, yeah, pulling an NPC out of a video game into the show. And I knew this was going to happen, that we were going to get deepfakes that were going to be better. And that's already what you're seeing on YouTube.
I find it weird that, you know, so they first did this, use this technology in Rogue One when they did Grand Moff Tarkin. And that was like so good. It was so good when they did Tarkin in Rogue One. And it's just kind of progressively almost worse, or I wouldn't say that much worse, but it definitely hasn't gotten better.
Go back and watch Rogue One, and I think you're going to be underwhelmed with Grand Moff Tarkin on that one. Like, I think that one is still about the same level of like video game CGI. It doesn't hold up, I think, today if you go and rewatch it. So right now, yeah, and this is, again, this is a show, not a movie. I don't know how much money do you think they dumped into the target, and I don't know. The deepfake technology is just producing more, I guess, realistic. I still find like the expressions on his face. I find like the movement of the mouth was not very well in sync. There were things that I thought in the end, it served its purpose on the show, but I knew it was going to be better. And now they have the side-by-side comparisons. You can find them on YouTube, or you can go to the show notes and see the comparison. In the end, the deepfake is better. It's not a drastic difference, but it is noticeable, especially in the areas like the eyes.
And the fact that a fan did it probably means it was way more affordable.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, the person who did it is definitely got paid way less than whatever company was hired to do it, the de-aging process. I guess I don't know why bother with the de-aging process anymore. If deepfake technology is there, you know, and there's, you know, something like a young Skywalker, you got plenty of images to build your database of the deepfake images to use. I don't know why you wouldn't go this route today in movies and in the industry, but I think more and more will do it. And then, while we're talking about deepfakes, did you see the Queen of England address on Christmas Day?
I read the article. I played it a little bit. Like, they're just cool with this? Like,
I guess. I mean, to some degree, this was played on I think an actual like news channel in England. I mean, it clearly wasn't trying to be her. They definitely make it apparent that it's a fake. But yeah, this is just a part of pop culture now. Like, this is like,
well, I just feel like, you know, it's kind of fucked up to have a monarchy anyways. Like, she really has no job. You know, she's really just a showpiece for the country and everything. Right. And like, it's crazy enough that you are just uber rich and in this uber crazy position in the world alone. Now you got to phone it in at your like one fucking job.
No,
like,
well, she did do a real Christmas address. She did do her normal real Christmas address. This was just called the alternative Christmas address is what the people who created this deepfake and put it out there. So she didn't cheat her way through. This is a clear parody, and it's okay.
Well, I want to say she could have put the kibosh on it anytime she wanted. There are crazy I don't know many of them, but there are crazy rules regarding the queen and royalty when it comes to that country. You know, like, I've been told by a few servicemen, you go in and when they're all God save the queening, if you just say like something against the queen and turn your drink glass upside down, you're in a bar fight. You know, like, you're in a bar fight. You know, so like the fact that this just, even exists and they didn't shoot it down kind of gives it their like seal of approval.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Probably not. I highly doubt that she's okay with this. But in the end, it's a silly video that's it's okay in quality as far as you know, it's I don't think it's fooling anybody. You know, I think it demonstrates that whoever put this together, it's still not at the point where, you know, we're going to get some deep fake video of some politician, you know, declaring war against another country that's going to be believable. I don't think that level was demonstrated here, but it is just showing that like this is becoming just such like accessible mainstream things that, you know, somebody can deep fake the Queen doing a TikTok video on her Christmas address fairly easily and make this just a part of comedy, make this a part of parody. And like I said, I'm just waiting for when like this is, you know, there's the weekly Saturday Night Live sketch that is nothing but deepfake or whatever else. Like this is going to just be an enduring thing in entertainment.
On a more morbid Queen note, is this lady immortal? Like, how old is this woman? You have four generations of the bloodline alive right now, and like she does not look like she's going anywhere anytime soon. Even like she's been queen most of my life, probably my entire father's life. Like I mean
that's how she's living so long, is she doesn't go anywhere or really do anything anymore. But
like 2020 took a lot of 2020 took a lot of people. How did she make it out of 2020? Like, you know, because like the next in line, her son, he's like 70. That was the next in line for the throne. Like he could go before her, and it wouldn't surprise anybody.
Yeah. So you think she is 94 years old, and yeah, still going. So
yeah, the whole royal line is just, it's crazy to me. I think they're gonna be having to do like the changing of the throne at least three times in my lifetime. Just like boom, boom, boom. Probably all in the same decade.
Yeah, she holds on to it for so long, and then all of a sudden we're gonna get a quick rapid succession down.
Yeah. Not that any of it means shit to anybody here.
I don't care. Well,
I don't think it means anything to anybody in England either.
It still means stuff, you know, whatever. People in the royal fascinations out here are still, I don't get it, but
I know people post about it so much that I'm almost tempted to start The Crown. Like, I'm almost tempted.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't tried that either. Again, I have no desire for...
Yeah, no, I think that's really weird. I think it's an American thing, you know, to just scoff at royalty, like, just, you know, you're better than me because of your bloodline. Like, that is really anti-American to have that kind of like mindset. You know, we fought wars over this kind of stuff, so I think that still lingers in our blood.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it, but let's move out of royal talk here, and we've got just a couple more tech topics to go through. One being that NASA scientists have achieved what they're calling long distance quantum teleportation. I think long distance is a relative term. I don't know what I don't. You know, 27 miles was this test to some that doesn't seem very long, but when we're talking about the actual instantaneous teleportation of data of a qubit, this is a big proof of concept, necessarily, that they can transfer huge packets of data instantaneously, essentially unhackable in this way of transferring or the teleportation of this the stuff. There's no physical node to hack into. There's nothing really to intercept there. We're looking at, you know, data transfer in qubits from quantum computing at the speed of light, which it's a cool concept.
My head.
Yeah, like I don't know the actual implications of this. You know, like what does this mean for downstream consumers? What does this mean for computing 25 years from now? Does this ever actually materialize into something that we're relying on or using? Or I don't know.
I still can't email more than 10 megabytes, so I don't I don't know how this affects my life.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that guy who's going to tell you the real implications of what this can unlock for society. I don't know. But it's
got the cool word teleport in it.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, we get to put, you know, air quotes around the word teleport, that we teleported something. You know, even though it's just a information stored in you know, quantum computing qubits, and again over long distances. I don't know what 27 miles. I don't know what number I would be impressed by. I was when I was like, oh, long distance teleportation 20, and I was like, 27 miles. Like, is that long? Is that really?
It's longer than a marathon. We both ran those, and I'll tell you that. Like, there are aspects where 27 miles was long as fuck in my life. Yeah. I'll tell you.
Sweet humble brag, dude.
I included you, Jagoff.
I think this is it's a cool concept. I just, you know, yeah, this, the whole quantum computing, quantum supremacy, all that stuff is still so far over my head. I guess I theoretically can understand how quantum computing opens up such, you know, a massive availability of data processing, and but like, again, the implications when this becomes something that actually can be used, I think we're so far off from it, that really it just exists in this theoretical physics world of nerds just trying to prove stuff. But there's no commercial application that I see coming anytime soon. I may be drastically off on that, but
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't understand it. All right, and then we could talk a little bit about some future automotive kind of robots, automation, and electric vehicles here. We've got a company, Nuro was granted permits last year to start testing some autonomous driving vehicles last year in California. And it's really limited to very specific areas like Santa Barbara County and San Mateo County in California. So no real like dense population centers when you look at like the major cities in California. But this company was able to start operating in there. And now they've been granted the permit by California to start charging people to operate in there, meaning that they can now sign on with Grubhub or Instacart or whatever. And essentially, this is a modified Prius-type vehicle that's got, it looks like this tiny little minivan thing that has some kind of hatch open doors on it that it just has like storage compartments. And essentially, it is just a driving shopping cart that I guess can you be just loaded with your groceries as you Instacart some groceries, or you do your grocery pickup order with whatever company you want to buy through. They can load it into one of these things and it autonomously drives it to your door and you pick it up. And that's the idea of this company. They've now been granted approval by California to start charging people to do this, to start actually commercially delivering to individuals starting in 2021.
I didn't realize you needed like permission to charge people. Like, that's the part of the story it's a little confusing to me. Like, if I had a human in it, I didn't need permission to charge people for deliveries, but the minute I have a robot car, now I need your permission to transfer this box from point A to point B.
Yeah, I think it's just because they were granted such a limited use permit to even just be on the roads and to even just test the vehicles in 2020, that limited use permit restricted them from actual any kind of customer interaction. It was just in order to use the
roads, they had to create a free beta.
Essentially, well, I don't think they were delivering to customers, or maybe they were on a limited basis. But really, yeah, it was just a beta to gather data, and now they're able to actually function as a business. They're granted the permits to roll this thing out as an actual business enterprise here. So I guess it makes kind of sense, but yeah, we'll see. I said Santa Barbara, but it's Santa Clara and San Mateo counties in California, for any California residents that were thinking about this. But in the end, yeah, they're not allowing it to operate in those big city centers in those counties like Oakland or San Francisco. Maybe that's downstream in 2022 after they prove in 2021 that they can deliver without incident.
I'm kind of excited for all this self-driving car shit. I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, I absolutely am. I think all this stuff's fascinating. So let's see how this plays out. If I can never step foot in a grocery store again and also not deal with human beings, I'm in.
I just want to play video games while I ride in a car. It's really all I want. I just want to be able to bring my Nintendo Switch with me and, you know, just take a ride to wherever the fuck and not have to stare out the window aimlessly as cornfields pass by me.
Yeah, well, maybe you're getting closer with having more options to choose from. And what we see is you shared it with me, the Mustang Mach-E. We're starting to see commercials about the Mustang Mach-E coming out. Pricing and everything else is coming out. People can start ordering them now. They're now open for order. Did you see the Clark Griswold commercial?
Yeah.
For the Mustang?
Yeah, that's why
Is that where you sent this?
That's okay. Why I sent it.
It's a great commercial.
It is. I mean,
it really is a great commercial.
I don't know what they paid to land all that.
Yeah. I don't know. Community's wrapped up now. What's Chevy Chase doing these days?
He's a grumpy fuck, though.
So, you know, it was a great Christmas commercial, bringing back some National Lampoon's characters. And, you know, I even liked in the commercial where, you know, the guys were talking about, I had a Mustang once back when cars made noises or whatever else made sounds. It's like, no, I like
that. That was the confusing thing about it to me is like, why slap the Mustang logo on it? Like, did they think that people would buy it just because it's an electric Mustang? So, like, you know, it is their most known car name, you know, at Ford, you know, so that I can kind of see why they wouldn't want to give it its own name and they just slap the Mustang brand on it because some people will buy it just because it's technically a Mustang. But yeah, you angered a lot of people with greasy knuckles and like they are not going to purchase this car out of spite. Like they will never buy this car because it doesn't have noise and doesn't rumble. And, you know, I just thought that was like a weird marketing choice.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is I would think they would be better served just coming up with their own name, but I guess they're probably hoping that it just comes with its own name recognition, that people are going to recognize that like the Mustang is a quality vehicle, that they're not starting some spin-off new, you know, like, you know, all the other electric vehicles that really kind of rolled out that were, you know, Nissan Leaf and all these other kind of focused on being electric as their primary function. This is now saying like, no, our new Mustang, our new head, you know, most name recognized vehicle that we own is now electric.
And they're probably hoping that it becomes a Tesla.
Yeah. And
it looks just like a Tesla.
And there were some statements about how that they were looking at really building a car that people want to desire, as their all electric vehicle. It's kind of that same concept of what Tesla did, right? Like Tesla could have made a much cheaper just electric vehicle, but then nobody would have bought it because it wasn't sexy enough and it didn't, like, the whole reason why the electric vehicles are now becoming so popular is because of Tesla and because of them making a vehicle that people just wanted.
Yeah, the first one looked like a Maserati, you know, yeah. Like,
and Ford is now just trying to mimic that, and that instead of just making a functioning electric vehicle, they wanted to come in and make that electric vehicle one that people, yeah, are
it's got the same body shape, it's got the tablet at the center console, it's got a lot of the same features. I mean, I don't blame them if it ain't broke. Like, just they just made their own version. If this gets more electric cars on the road, I guess I'm for it. It is surprisingly affordable. I want to say, what was it, 42 to start? 40, let me look here. Yeah, 42,895 to start, and can get as low as 35,395 after federal tax credits. So you can get a brand new electric Mustang for 35 grand. Yeah. Like, that's...
And I'm sure they're going off of the Tesla model too, that it's 35 grand to drive it. It's another 5 grand to unlock certain features.
Oh, yeah.
It's another,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're, yeah, still going to do the microtransaction model of vehicles. But yeah, you can walk away with a solid electric vehicle for 35,000. You know, they're definitely coming down in price. And you know that, yeah, if they're making the Mustang at 35,000, they have the capability today to get you a net cost one after tax rebates and stuff like that in the 20 $8,000 $1,000 range, something like that. You know what I mean? Like if they didn't slap the Mustang sticker on it and go full premium like they are on this version.
Well, so, and to me, these cars, they pay for themselves ultimately. You know, I'm looking at a post that my friend made that I wanted to share as we talked about this story. So I hooked up his Tesla charger for him. He just took a trip in his Tesla to Minnesota to pick up his new dog. And he was able to hit one of those V3 supercharger stations on the way because you plan out your trip through Tesla and they let you know where the stations are. From Chicago to Minneapolis, it's 350 miles. It took four charges to go there and back. Cost him a total of $20 to charge it. Took 8 hours and 15 minutes. And, you know, like, when you think about the cost savings, you know, $20 to drive to Minneapolis, like that's a $100 gas tank, if I ever heard one, you know, and you multiply that over the length of what you own a car for, like it's, you can't really complain about, you know, the price tags of these cars. You can't.
I can, motherfucker. I can, because that savings does not ever add up when you're paying significantly more. But as electric vehicles become equivalent in cost to the gas versions, then there's no
35 there's grand no reason. Is equivalent cost to the gas version. Look up the base model of a regular Mustang.
Yeah, maybe on the Mustang level, right? I'm not buying a Mustang either, right? So
this motherfucker.
Either way, some of the more interesting things that are coming out of this is just Ford really going heavy at like criticizing Tesla. You know, there was a statement made by one of the Mustang kind of partners, one of the original members of the Ford team, that said that on this Mustang, the doors fit properly, the plastics and other materials color match, the bumpers don't fall off, the roof doesn't come off when you wash it, the door handles don't get stuck in cold weather, and he doesn't know why anybody else would continue to stick with the compromises of the other brands. Doesn't mention Tesla by name, but clearly like taking all those one-off problems and problems that you can...
This is the Tesla point where I wish I knew enough about cars, because I have a few buddies that could shit all over the Mustang, could shit all over Ford and all over their fucking cars and tell you exactly why they should have kept their fucking mouth shut. I am just not that knowledgeable in cars. You can tell basically on the fact that we only talk about self-driving and electric cars on this podcast.
Yeah, the sooner you can get away from an engine that I don't know how to fucking fix anyway, is the better.
But yeah, I don't know. Stones and glass houses, bro. Stones and glass houses.
In the end, whatever. I love to see the competition here in the electric vehicle realm. Just because somewhere down the road, when I need a new vehicle, I would really like to see the used car market being flooded with a bunch of electric vehicles, because I'm not buying new.
Well, that's coming. there's a lot of podcasts that talk about this, is that we're just kind of entering the used car market for like the original Teslas. And this is where we're going to see the longevity of the Tesla, the cost of repair once we hit those 100,000, 150,000 mile models. Yeah, like I'm actually really interested to see what kind of used car market these electric vehicles can generate.
Same, because that's what I'm hoping to pick up one of these days. But I think that's a weekend news for us.
Yep, I think that's a wrap.
That's a wrap on 2020. We'll come in with some fresh takes on 2021 here.
Yeah,
soon.
Fuck yeah, Jesus, oh my God.
It's not going to be any better, guys.
It's not. It's not.
don't think because you flipped a calendar that things are going
to
be better.
I'm really just trying to stay optimistic here. I know.
I'm a firm believer. One of like my mottos that I have printed up in my office is that expectation management is the key to happiness. Like, just set your expectations that 2021 is going to suck and you got a better chance of being happy.
I think I got a feeling this whole decade is going to be like a swift kick to the balls. You know, 2020 was the initial thud, and then you got that stomach pain that just lingers for like half an hour. 2020 was the dick punch. 2020 was the dick punch.
21 through 26 is the stomach pain. Which always lasts longer.
Like, way longer. Way longer.
All right. See?
So-and-so draws a 2020 Dick Punch shirt. So-and-so draws a 2020 Dick Punch shirt. We'll put it on the site.
All right. Well, I guess coming out of 2020, we appreciate any listeners, any support, people who've joined us for this this fun little journey here. Continue to engage in the conversations over at the Nerd Cantina. Join in those spoilers conversations of shitting on Wonder Woman. Let's see if we can get that up to like 500 comments of shitting on Wonder Woman. And in the end, if you're not a part of that group, please join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community or just search us out over on Twitter, Facebook. Join us in the conversations there. And then grab us a rating review if you've got a moment. It's a big help to us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and we'll see you on the other side, guys. This keep our fingers crossed. Let's just keep our fingers crossed.
All right. Well, that said, talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.